See Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
One person I definitely did not want to meet was Taylor.
Yeah, I did not want to meet Derek.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
So we're here right now in the studio in the presence of true love, y'all.
Yeah. We're here with the real success story of Paradise so far, Taylor Nolan and Derek Peth. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's awesome to be here in this closet.
Yeah, I feel like this is long overdue. Welcome to our closet.
Yeah, I'm so thankful to be here.
Yeah. There's a red velvet curtain in here.
Yeah, so. That says high class.
Don't really talk to me about glamour. So we're very cozy in here behind the curtain, and we're excited to talk about this season, about you guys, what brought you together. I think we should just jump in.
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah. So when you guys came to Paradise, who were you both hoping to meet? Like, had you met anyone before that you were hoping to see there? Or?
I intentionally didn't go about trying to meet anybody. Like, my whole point with going in there was like, maybe I'll be a little more mysterious this way. Like, nobody's going to really know me. And it turned out to be, like, not the best move because everybody else talked to each other beforehand.
There was a lot of, like, people scheming to try to set up relationships beforehand.
Yeah. So, I mean, Raven and I are from, like, small towns both. So that was something that I was like, I'm going to talk to her. But I also knew that everybody was going to be, like, trying to throw their spear at her.
So to speak.
Yeah. Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Right? Yes.
So one person I definitely did not want to meet was Taylor.
Yeah, I did not want to meet Derek. I was kind of mean to him in the beginning because I was like, I don't want to talk to you.
Why?
Well, the very first way that I like approached her was I said, "What's up, kiddo?"
Oh no!
And immediately, I was like, "Turn back around immediately!" Like,
exit before, stage right.
The funny thing was
before,
like,
before he even opened his mouth, just when I saw him walking up to my cabana, I was like, "No, no, no! Turn around."
So as if I couldn't like get any deeper of a hole to start on, I like definitely dug a few more feet deep.
Yeah, yeah.
It was also a little bit like, I know she's like a strong woman, so that was kind of me being like, I want to see how she handles this. If I
trying to nag her,
a little bit, yeah, I guess so. I only learned what that word was like 2 weeks ago, by the way. I never
heard of
that
before.
People
been applying it to your behavior a lot.
We have a lot of problem with words.
Jeez.
So instead of preparing for Paradise by sliding in DMs, you were like, you were reading like some serious pickup artist manuals.
No.
You were ready to work your game on all these women.
And you were like, kiddo. Basically. Okay, yeah. Got it. Yeah. Yeah, writing that down. Yeah.
I said it and I went, oh my God, what did I just say?
Well, and that was on the second day.
Okay, yeah, we're going to go into this.
Derek wasn't really there the first day.
He wasn't really there.
I don't really drink. So I had, like, Dean was like, here, everyone have some shots.
Demo was really, like, every time a new person would come, Demo was like, shots, 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 shots.
And I was like, okay, I guess this is Paradise. We're doing this. And then I was not there anymore. I went, actually, I did the smart thing that Nick Nick Benvenuti should have done, which is I went straight to bed.
Yeah, that's wise.
Yeah.
Then there's no footage of you being a complete asshole.
Yeah. But he was, like, really sweet the second day. I woke up and Danielle was like, Derek was really sweet. Like, he just came around to everyone and just apologized for being drunk. And, like, he was just so sweet about it. And then he
thought I was going home. That's why.
I know. So I tell him, like, if I wasn't there, you would have gone home.
I mean, it is a it seemed like the first day after the first night, there were a lot of apologies going around for the drunkenness. So
yeah.
Maybe too it many happens. Shots the first night.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Sometimes you got to dive in.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of like anxiety being regulated on that first day.
Absolutely.
When you're like
Throughout the whole show.
Hotel talking about the fact that we're going to do this in four days. It's like 4 days of
I was going to ask, how long are you in the hotel before?
Yeah.
So 4 days.
It's a big part of it.
So before you come in the hotel, are you separated from each other? Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. There was actually in the hotel, Matt, he was actually in the hotel room above me. And so he heard like all my conversations with producers where I was like freaking out. And I was like, I shouldn't be here. I can't do it. And so the first day, he and I had like a really nice walk on the beach. Because when I walked down, I was like shaking. Like Alexis hugged me and she's like, are you okay? Like you're shaking. And it was just filled with anxiety. And Matt was just like, yeah, you know, I was actually your neighbor and heard everything. And like, just want to let you know, I'm glad you're here. And like, things are going to be okay. And
I was hear you freaking out about that or the bug?
There was a cockroach in my room. So that was a big.
Oh, no.
That was a big
Taylor thing. Does not like any bugs or
spiders. I'm okay with bugs. Just like, don't be in my space.
Exactly.
Stay outside.
You don't want the cockroach in your personal space.
No.
It is a violation.
And it was
bugs
like a
have
big,
no
like,
respect.
Mexico cockroach.
Oh, God.
When are these bugs going to grow up?
Seriously.
They need to learn about when it's appropriate to be in each other's space.
Yeah. I mean, I
only
feel
when
the
you're
same
invited.
Way about the subway rats.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Cockroaches in New York, by the way, also enormous. So you've got to be prepared for that.
I got you.
I know. I actually used to kill my own cockroaches, and now I'm like, why bother? That's that's Greg's job. Like he has to do it.
Literally, when I see a spider on the wall, I just go.
And I know what that
point,
means.
And he's like,
yeah, it's a good move. You're like, your turn.
Yeah, you've got to share the responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So after that really rough beginning, how did this come about that you're sitting here together in our closet?
Do you want to start?
Yeah. I mean, when he came up and was like, what's up, kiddo? And I was like, oh, my God, walk away. He then ended up sitting with me at the cabana for about 3 hours. We just started talking and just couldn't stop talking.
Well, it was like a lot more in-depth conversations than I think I'd had with anybody else.
It was really refreshing, honestly. Yeah.
We talked a lot about not Bachelor and not Paradise. Like
yes.
Real life we went into. Pretty quickly, which everyone else was like so focused on, oh, how was your season? And what did who do you not like? Who do you not like?
Yeah.
Which is not really that important, honestly, when you think about real life.
So it was like, it felt like we were actually having a real life conversation. And I was like, he's a real life guy. And he's not, I was like,
I'm a real boy.
Like, I was like, he's not like so bachelory. Like a lot of everyone else here is pretty bachelory. But
yeah, that's a verb that.
Yeah, it's a
verb. What does that mean exactly?
Bachelory. It's like, you know, flat tummy tea and sugar bear hair.
And like, hey, look at who I'm hanging out with today on Instagram and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Just people who are, like, very invested in the Bachelor franchise and, like, make their lives now about Bachelor franchise.
Sure. And I imagine it's pretty easy to get sort of wrapped up in all
it
of
is,
that.
It is so easy. And there are definitely, you know, there are days where we're like, we're going to be bachelory today. But they're like, no, we're going to be normal people now.
And even we've even broken it down to now having like, okay, this is bachelory time, which means like we're gonna respond to emails and we're gonna
plan out things,
plan things out,
and go on morning radio shows and talk about our journey.
Like right now we're kind of being a little bachelor.
Yeah, you're on our podcast, so we've coerced you into it.
Our favorite podcast.
Yes.
Be using that in all our marketing materials now.
Yeah,
Nick, write that down.
Yeah. We just, like, we do the production move where we're like, so is this your favorite podcast?
Yeah.
This is my favorite podcast. And suddenly we have the soundbite we need.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you guys had this difficult season that you ended up on. You met during the beginning of filming, and then there was the hiatus, and then you came back. Do you think that your relationship would have progressed differently under a normal season? Have you ever thought about what that would have looked like?
Yeah.
I think, I don't want to get into necessarily what happened with, the shutdown, because there's so many opinions on that. But what it did for us to have that time where we separated from, like, that world temporarily is we both knew that we actually liked each other.
Yeah.
Because we tried to actually be just go, well, that was fun. Like, we got to spend a cool week with each other and like, really get to know each other. But then we kept talking and we kept FaceTiming. And actually, Taylor was – I got a flight for her to come to Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to really like me to decide to come to Iowa, you know? Sorry, yeah. Iowa. But
it was, like, such a weird progression for me, at least emotionally, because I went in – super anxious, super, you know, pessimistic that I was going to like anyone or that anyone was going to like me, and then was slowly starting to warm up to the idea of him. And then the shutdown happened, and then I was like, oh, my God. Okay, now this can't be anything. And then when we were home,
Taylor's so trained to have a bad experience with Bachelor.
I couldn't believe it or, like, trust it that he was, like, a good thing coming from the show. And then when we had the shutdown, we talked every day. Like, every morning when we woke up, we, like, woke up FaceTiming each other in bed. And, like, it was really sweet because it was, like, it was very, very sad because we got excited about this idea of being able to create our relationship and, like, you know, this romanticized setting. And then it was like, if we don't have that opportunity, then can we even actually build a relationship
just
being
we
long
live
distance?
So far, yeah.
It's right, you're
so
not
hard
in the same place.
Yeah, so it was so sad. I'd call him, like, crying in the morning and be like, what are we going to do?
So what was it like to get the news that you were going back? Like, were you totally thrown?
It was like the day that we bought my ticket to Iowa.
Yeah. So we had to cancel it.
Money down the drain.
There was no 24-hour cancellation.
Yeah.
It was all good.
Yeah. It was super exciting, but also just kind of scary because it was like, what are we getting ourselves into now by going back? Mm-hmm. And, like, how are things going to be different?
And we'd already stepped. I mean, we basically had spent more time together at that point in time than, like, you know, here we're coming back into essentially the second episode.
Yeah.
And we have like a 4-week relationship already.
Yeah. He's so, like, FaceTime with my mom and
FaceTime
me while I brush my teeth and go pee.
Right. A lot of that real life intimacy that when you're only building a relationship on the show, you just don't get to see.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, I got, like, my, like, closest friend, like my sister, Casey, you know, would FaceTime with me and getting to hear her input and be like, oh, who's he? He's hot. And I'm like, oh, is he hot? Yeah, he's hot.
You need your girlfriend to confirm.
Yes.
Casey.
I mean, there was this weird disconnect, like, from the first episode, I guess, to the second one or however that ended up playing out, that, like, a lot of the people, it seems like, did take that approach of, well, I guess we're just gonna leave this where it is. And then they came back and things were in a different place than we had last seen.
Yeah.
Was that weird for all of you to come back and be trying to see if you could pick up things where they were or how things were going to be rejiggered? Had you all been, like, in close touch during the hiatus?
Yeah. I mean, we had, like, a girl – I mean, we have our Almost Paradise group chat of, like, the whole original cast. But then we also kind of had, like, the other guys chat, and we had our girls chat where, you know, every other day it was, like, something in the media was coming up about the incident, non-incident. And so we were all kind of always talking about it, but then going back – you know, we had to meet with, like, lawyers and legal team. And I remember even just seeing him for the first time. Like, I was nervous. Like, how is this going to be when we all see each other again? Like, it was kind of nerve-wracking to go back.
So which personally, that was when I was like, okay, she's real about this. Because we, like, hugged and it was – there's, like, palpable tension around there.
I was I don't know what to do.
And then she, like – walked away and grabbed Alexis, and I caught her in the hallway. She was, like, doing the, like, I don't know, junior high girl, like, oh, my God.
I did a little, like, squeal and jump and, Alexis, help me.
And I stood there. I was like, all right. What's up, girl?
See, this is all just bolstering my theory that this is just adult bachelor summer camp.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, it is. Definitely.
Yeah, the only comparison I have is college.
Yeah.
Nick and I both went to summer camps. Like, every time we do a recap, I'm like this time when I was at camp. Like, yep. This is exactly the same.
This one time at band camp?
Yeah. Not band camp, but, you know.
Yeah, I have no reference point for this at all, but it's fine. It makes it more interesting. So at the way things kind of played out, you have been so coupled off that we hardly see you.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
Not enough drama, guys.
Except we did.
We did, yeah.
Like, even the conflict that was shown, there was so much more leading up to it and after it that just wasn't shown.
Yeah, it was kind of confusing from a viewer perspective. It seemed like you just jumped in midway into a conversation.
Yeah, and all of a sudden there was a fight.
Yeah.
Not what happened.
Taylor likes to call them MCs.
Yeah, it's like it's a little miscommunication. It's just a little MC we had.
So you're saying miscommunication so much that you just you need a little.
And then like quality time, a short name's QT. Yeah. Like if you have an MC, you just need to have a little bit of QT in you.
Wise words.
Yeah. I mean, you were almost having like too much quality time. Like you were together
That's
all
partly
the time.
Why the argument started, actually, because. We were just hanging out day after day, same thing. Is there going to be a date card? Who's going to get the date card? Who's going to come? Who's going to go on the date? And I was just like, can we do something, like the two of us? And that annoyed him because he already had something planned.
And I was like trying to be like, and this is a constant that we're still working with, where I'll be like, Taylor, just trust me. It's fine. I've got something planned. And then she'll be like, yeah, but what is it? What time do I need to be ready? What exactly do I need to wear? And I'm just like, stop it. Just trust me. And
but, like,
so
that didn't happen.
No.
There.
And so so now we've learned, like, because of that, how to just talk with each other when, you know, it's like personality clash and I'm trying to do something romantic and she does not, she wants to know all the details.
I don't cooperate.
And then, you know, there was other little things, too. Like, when the twins did show up, there was a whole, I know you don't want me to say this, but Taylor was like, no, go on this date. And I was like, no.
I was like, don't not go on it just because of me. Like, if you want to go, then go.
And I said, no, I don't think you understand. I don't want to go. And then she was like, no, but I'm telling you, you can go.
And then it was like a whole conversation about, you know, it's almost at the end of this and like how do you move forward with your relationship and like I felt really pressured and was like well I don't know like I don't know where we are so that was like a little stressful and that was when in the last episode I think it was when he says he's falling in love with me that was like at the end of that whole conversation because that like started up in the pool and then I had to talk with Wells and there was a lot in between.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't show us.
I was super surprised,
right?
too, actually.
Yeah.
Because it didn't make sense either, because she said by name, and then they literally showed none of them.
Yeah, they didn't show her
talking to him. Like, we didn't see that guy on screen.
Well, that's the thing. It made it seem like she talked to Amanda, and then was like, okay, I guess I just won't ask Derek.
Yeah. No, she did. She talked to him.
Why didn't you want to go on a date with Haley?
I was like, no, you definitely want to go on this.
I have already asked this girl to marry me. I think I was like, I was in that mindset already, right?
Maybe going on another date isn't the
best idea. Maybe if I want to be dramatic and be on TV, but I was like, this is a real thing that I want to pursue.
Well, and then when they didn't go on any date, we were like, wait, but can we have their date card? Like,
can we
do something that's like not. With everyone
I'm sure
here
the producers were like, absolutely not. We want to keep you stir crazy a little bit more.
Well, I think they could. In the past, you've seen people who couldn't get a date give it. But it seems
they don't seem the most giving in that, at least in that moment. They didn't seem to be in a very giving mindset.
They were more in a throwing mindset.
Throwing scallops.
I loved when Robbie, when they said that, and Robbie's like, I didn't do anything. It was so funny because that's literally how all of us felt. We all were like,
we all knew that they were only coming just to like screw things up and just be like the most dramatic that they can be.
Did you get the sense that they were really consciously leaning into the
100%.
Absolutely.
That was their whole intention of being there. It was really just, you know, screen time and whatever.
Which is also why like Jack was like, I don't really care about doing this. He also didn't realize it was his last day, like our last night there. And he's like, you know, he's been there since the first day with all of us. And he's like, I don't want to spend my last night out on a date with this chick who's like only here just to be on TV. Like, I want to hang out with my friends. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing that they didn't show?
Do you know what I'm going to say?
I think so. Go ahead.
Yes, now I'm excited.
There's two like so, weird things that we like talk about with each other but haven't really talked too much with other people.
Yeah, like this is the part that makes me sad about the stuff that they've shown and that they leave out like the other fun, quirky parts of us. So we were at the bar. Which one do you think I was going to say? Boom Boom?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll start with Boom Boom.
Okay.
You guys are killing us.
So after our date, we then decided to go to the Boom Boom room together. So it was our first night back in Paradise after the shutdown. And, like, you know, I would have been in Iowa already and been, like, sleeping with them and everything. So I was like, yeah, like, we should
sleeping
do Boom Boom.
Sleeping. Yes.
But
co-sleeping is
on the date, you know, you don't get to actually eat food. It's like a fake dinner date.
Right.
So we were like shoving our faces, starving at the end of the day in the van on the way back. So then like when we got there, we were like just really, like bloated and like gassy. And we were like, do we want to spend the night with each other? And I was like, we're probably just going to fart on each other all night. And so then like when we did the consent thing, I was like, I just want to spend the night with Derek tonight so we can fart all over each other.
And I didn't know this. And then I was in there and I, like, she noticed that I let one a little bit.
Yeah, but I could tell he was, like, trying to not.
Yeah. And so she, and this is like, I was like, okay, this is a real girl. I love just the no shame in her. She reaches over and touches my stomach and goes, are you okay? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, you can just let that loose. It's okay. I don't want you to stomach to hurt.
I was like, don't hold that in.
Which is probably the lowest level of intellectual conversation you've ever had on this podcast.
You would be surprised.
Yeah.
Some of the things we've heard.
Yeah.
Wait, so what's the other thing?
So the other thing was at the bar. I think this was during one of the cocktail parties. Again, just like super bored. All we did
was talk to, can you imagine meeting somebody and going on essentially 1,000 dates within like 3 weeks? We just talked to each other nonstop.
The whole time. So Wells was doing stuff at the bar with limes and I was like,
Tim,
you know,
a hippie.
I'm a little bit of a hippie sometimes. So I was like, oh, you guys want to like fun fact about Taylor. So I don't use deodorant and I used to use limes as deodorant. Uh-huh. Now I make my own, but so I was like, yeah, I used to use limes as deodorant. They're like, what? And then I don't remember how it happened. But
oh, I thought of that.
Yeah, he suggested.
They were like, let's all do tequila shots. And I go, I'm licking a lime out of your armpit.
So I like squeezed and like rubbed lime on my armpit.
Oh, God.
And he licked this up, took the shot, and then just licked up my whole armpit.
These are the things you have to do to stay entertained. It's all about self-entertainment.
And I'm like, why didn't they show that?
Yeah, that's on the level of like Alexis trying to feed Jack Stone a dead
yes,
crab.
Yeah,
exactly.
But maybe a little less dangerous to oneself.
For sure.
And I mean, you know, people do belly button shots.
Okay, so let's get into some of the little drama that we saw.
Yeah.
Taylor, you at one point had an interesting little dust up with Lacey over Diggy.
Mm-hmm.
What happened there? Are you guys all good now?
I have a lot to say on this, actually.
Great. Jump on in.
Here's what I'm going to say about that whole situation. We all knew that Lacey was only there to meet Daniel.
From day one.
So anything else that she got, like, emotional about or whatever, we were all like, you're just being selfish, you know? I know Taylor wouldn't say this, but so that was, like, our response to it. Was like, we know what's going on. This isn't about Diggy, like, and this is about you. And so to us, like, well, yes, understandably, like, this is a difficult thing to go through, but, you know, like, we saw through the smoke.
Well, and it wasn't just that, like, she really wanted to meet Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
It was that, like, they were going to be engaged at the end of this after meeting once in New York.
Has she seen Daniel or heard him speak?
They met one time. Before that.
I have a hard time imagining Daniel ever getting engaged to anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard for me to imagine Daniel engaging in any sort of actual conversation with anyone.
Well, outside of Daniel. Weird analogies.
Yeah. I mean, no, I think he can talk at people.
Like, that's
he knows
exactly
a lot of, like, really interesting things. Like, he is very smart in a different category.
Yeah. Well, and, like, I think he's – so this is the Daniel analysis that I've used before. It's like, he isn't from Canada coming to the United States from the first time. He's like, his brain is from another planet.
It's like an alien.
And he's like experiencing the world the first time.
Yeah. It's like, I went to college in Canada. That is not, exactly. He's not representative like, of any Canadians I've ever met.
He says things and you're just like, where did that even come from?
Yeah. But so, I mean, the whole thing with all of that was like, before Dom had even got there, like during the shutdown and everything, after having had met Diggy, I was like, Dom, I didn't tell her, but I was like, there's someone there. Like, I really, like, when you get there, I think it's going to be really good. And told Diggy that I was like, I think you're going to really like my friend Dom. So when she finally came, it was like, oh, my God, you're here. And, like, we all knew that Lacey was kind of just using Diggy to get a rose and to stay because she really wanted Daniel to get there. She even told us when we got back from the shutdown, when we were, like, doing the check-in with, like, where everyone's at, she's like, yeah, and if anyone tries to talk to Daniel, I'm going to murder you. And we were like,
that will not be a problem.
Daniel's not even here yet. Like, can we just pump the brakes? let's have no murder talk right now. I definitely felt for Lacey that, like, it's frustrating that Dom got there so shortly after their date, but it wasn't her, like, being upset at the possibility of Diggy feeling something for Dom. It was, no one's talking about my date. Mm-hmm. She was really upset that no one was talking about her date and that Diggy and Dom clearly would have a connection and that that would mean she would go home and not get to have this, like, love story on the show with Daniel. So, you know, I felt for her because she really wasn't friends with anyone there, and that's kind of how I thought I was going to be. So that's what I tried to tell her, you know, like, hey, I wasn't, like, spitefully getting Dom and Diggy to hook up. Like, Dom is my really close friend. I'm not your friend at all. In fact, like, you talk shit about me at Women Tell All, so I owe you nothing at this point. But I was like, you know, I empathize with you, so, like, just so you know, it wasn't anything spiteful or intentional. Like, I was just trying to be a good friend to my good friend. And,
you know, like, focus on the positive and not the negative, right? Sure.
Yeah, I was like, you know, we are here to find a connection. And, you know, I would hope that you'd be happy for Diggy if he did find a good connection. And it just really irked me because she tried to make him feel really bad about it. And it was like, you know, he didn't need to ask your permission at all. Like, we're all there to date other people and to, like, check things out. And if he gets asked on a date, you know, it's not like they had had this.
Clearly, because even after, like, 15 weeks, Taylor was like, oh, no, you should go on that date with Haley.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? You're free, man. You can do whatever you want to do.
I think Taylor was like, I just need a break. Like, we've spent every second together.
Oh, no, that was a test.
Well, it's like D'Lo was like, if Dean wants to go out with you, that's his decision. And everyone was like, if he says yes, she's going to freak out. Well, like, you want the guy to say no on his own volition.
Well, we said that from the beginning. It was funny because all the other people were like, oh, no, you don't want to ask Taylor, or no, you don't want to ask Derek.
Yeah, everyone kept speaking for us. When a new person would come in, they'd be like, Derek's off limits. Derek's with Taylor. And I was like, if you're interested in Derek, you can talk to Derek and, like, see how he feels about it. Like, don't.
Yeah, we both from the beginning said it's up to each of us to take this as we want to create it. So,
and it was just, like, a lot of pressure that they were all putting on us, too, of, like, no, Derek and Taylor are in love, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Jasmine, stop.
And we were like, we haven't even used that word yet.
Yeah.
That's a four-letter word. Shoot.
Yeah, and that's where, like, even I think in the last episode they show us joking about, like, we have to have sex 3 times at least before we can get engaged.
Yeah, we wanted some, like, context for that.
Yeah, because everyone was like, oh, you guys are madly in love. Like, I was like, I haven't even had sex with this dude.
Like, but you farted on each other.
Yeah.
Exactly. I would think that's
one step towards.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is that like second base now? Is that the new
Second base? Usually the farting comes way after the sex part. We just did things a little backwards.
I think it's millennial second base. Like, we're too lazy to hook up, but we will sit on the couch together fart. And fart. Yeah.
Netflix and chill. It's like
Jasmine and Alexis were our Netflix up in the hot tub when they were doing their fake fighting. They were
on
Netflix.
That's funny.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit. And I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Speaking of Jasmine, she was involved in a little drama this season.
Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Were you guys really aware of what was going on between Jasmine and Kristen and Matt? And like, what was your take on that situation?
I felt really bad for Kristen, honestly. I have always said, and still to this day, think that it's not weird to eat scallops with your hand. And I thought it was super weird to pick on her about that. And I kept saying that to everybody. I was like, why are you guys making such a big thing about this? So what? She ate some fish with her hands. Okay. I do that all the time.
I love Kristen. I do love her. It was gross. I was there, and we got back in the car, and we were like, oh, my God, what's that smell? And then she's like, wiping them on Alexis.
I don't think she wiped them on Alexis.
No, she literally did. She laughed. She was like, oh.
Actually, that's something that Kristen would like not realize. Yeah, that she was
and
doing
that's honestly, that's like, honest. That's just Kristen, and I love her. Yeah. And I'm like, I think she kind of gets it now, and she's leaning into it and is doing such a good job at that.
She's like, handling it like a champ.
Absolutely. For sure. When we saw her like filming the scallop going back into the ocean thing, you know, we were like, I was so proud of her in that moment because I was just like, good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah, it's definitely tough thing to... better to own it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's hard because Jazz has a very big personality and is very, I mean, you know, you want good TV, ABC, I'll give you good TV. you know, so like, it was kind of funny to watch her process because she's at the bar, you know, and she's just like, oh, I'm fine. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm not going to give her anything. And Wells is like, you're just going to let her take your man like that? And she goes,
Wells.
Jazz just turns around and she goes, where is she? And we were like, oh.
You're like, oh, no.
He's such an instigator.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because then to Christina, he's like, why are you fighting for someone who's not fighting for you?
Yeah.
Matt wasn't fighting for Jasmine. So, like, why was Jasmine's...
Yeah. Well, Matt was very hesitant to come back to film in the first place.
Yeah, Taylor and I actually both, like, he was going to say no, and Taylor and I both called him the day before.
Yeah.
We were like, we want you to be there, man.
Like, yeah, we were part of the family. You were there first day. Like, just give it a shot and come back. And he's really, mm-hmm. like, not about the cameras and all of that. It makes him a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. He's a super down-to-earth guy who's, like, mm-hmm. very good with just having his own personal space.
Yeah.
Which doesn't
not
happen.
Not a thing that happens.
No. Yeah. I think he was a little – I don't think he was as clear with Jazz as he could have been.
100%. he's like that. That's like a lot of the guys from Rachel's season, though, I feel were that way. None of them were very like straightforward speakers to say, nope, this needs to be done, or like, I'm definitely interested in you. Everyone was kind of like skirting the issue and just flirting a lot.
And that's what I like about you, because you're like so, you know, I upward inflect and it sounds like I'm asking questions at the end of every sentence.
That's something that Taylor learned.
But
she's like, do I really sound like this?
Oh,
we get comments
from people who listen to this podcast all the time who tell us we do that too.
Yeah, so. It's very revealing to listen to your own voice so much.
It is.
Yeah.
And now when I watch the show, I'm like, oh, Jasmine just did it. Derek, you just did it. And I'm like trying to point out everyone else is doing it to make me feel better about myself. But he just, like, he says things with such conviction. And I always remember, like, in my ITMs being like, he really, like, he means what he says. And, like, I can feel it that, like, everything he says, he really means. And that's, like, such a powerful thing for me. That was one of the reasons I liked him.
So
like him.
Someone who doesn't seem to quite have that same quality as Dean.
Yes, absolutely.
He seems to have the opposite approach to communication. Mm-hmm.
He's the most masterful deflector I've ever met in my life.
Everything.
On day two, I caught him doing it 3 times in a row, and I looked at him and I go, I don't trust you, Dean. He was like, what do you mean? I said, you can never answer a single question. And he's aware of it. He knows it. But we obviously saw that play out as, like, Dean Pong then after that.
It just didn't he didn't seem to be doing himself any favors.
Yeah. No, he didn't.
I think – so here's the biggest thing I think happened with those group of guys. For us, like, I already knew what this world was like. She'd been in it for a while. We left Paradise and, like, the normal season of The Bachelorette was still airing.
Rachel's season.
Right. So still the – like, typically those guys – are removed from that world.
Yeah, because they only see 2 episodes before we start filming in Paradise.
Wow.
And this is where...
And then they're watching.
Uh-huh. And so this is where the DM game, I think, was, like, very influential because, like, all these guys started getting... They went from, like, very focused on social media, followership. Yeah. And after that, like, all of that season kept talking about, oh, how many followers do I have now? And they'd ask producers even while we were there. They'd be like, what's my number at?
Oh,
I know. And I was like, you guys need to get your heads like out of the clouds. You're not important. Yeah. Remember that.
That's why, like,
we are
0%
relevant.
Yeah. That's why I really liked that with Bachelor, you have time to, like, process everything before doing Paradise. Whereas Bachelorette, the guys, I mean, like, last year when Evan and Carly, you know, got engaged, like, he went back to film Men Tell All after already being engaged.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
the guys that
wild.
Come straight from Bachelorette to Paradise, like, and that's where the shutdown definitely had an influence.
And so I think they kind of thought that their shit didn't stink a little bit.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, I'm going to come out of this single so I can, like, make sure I can take advantage of all of this once I get back to my real life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, my God.
Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of
sense. Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah.
It just, like, makes me disappointed. But it's like, why should I be disappointed? I don't know these people. Like, they don't owe me anything. It's fine.
Yeah.
Christina, it seems, by the last episode, got a little pushback from Raven and from some other people for still, like, sticking around even though Dean couldn't make up his mind. Emma and I felt like Raven was a little harsh.
Not wrong, necessarily, but the delivery might have been a little too harsh.
Yeah. I mean, how did you guys feel? Did you think that Christina was, like, partly at fault for the way this all played out? Is that a loaded question? Probably.
There's just a lot of things.
Let me.
And I don't know how to filter.
I'll tell you why it built up to that. I'll filter. I'll tell you why it built up to that way. That had gone on. What you see on screen, and I know everyone else, like, kind of fed up with seeing the same thing over and over and over again. Just imagine that magnified times 100 in person. Like, that's essentially what happened. So at that point in time, we all knew where this was going and, like, had some of those conversations that you see. That was, like, the 80th conversation of those conversations.
Hours and hours.
With, like, either on either side. Yeah. So we all were just kind of like, shit or get off the pod already, you know? Like, just make your decision. And we're exhausted by y'all continuing going back and forth.
Well, and I think for Raven that a lot of the frustration was that, you know, that wasn't the first time that, like, someone had tried to talk to her. And where she was going, you know, she was asking other girls kind of for advice and for their perspective on it, but then would respond super defensively. I can't listen to myself talk.
That's a little hand signal I do to tell her that she's upward reflecting.
Oh my God, I'm talking.
It just happens.
It's actually a very common thing.
I know.
Yeah.
It's not just women either.
No,
it's actually
it's not.
All young people across the country.
It's really bad.
No, she asked me to do that. It's not like me. No. Yeah.
Yeah, she's not like, policing her speech patterns.
Yeah. I'm not like mansplaining how to talk right now.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, Christina would respond super defensively. Mm-hmm. And then that's kind of where Raven is like, okay, I'm not going to keep doing this with you. Like, you either want to hear what I have to say or you don't. Like, I know that you're not going to take my advice anyway, so there's really no point in me saying anything. And then it was frustrating because Christina at that point was starting to blame D'Lo. And, you know,
she just didn't, she didn't know what to feel, and she wanted to leave, but like she also didn't want to leave, and so it was just like a lot of emotions spinning out of control.
And it was just like, you know, a lot of guys would come and ask Christina on a date, but she would never go, and mainly because she didn't want to leave Dean at the house alone with D'Lo. And that's where it's like, but then like you're just kind of watching him all day, and like that's really just it's just like uncomfortable, and you know, it's just like it makes everyone just feel like really sad and confused and uncomfortable. And it's just like, oh, there's no need for this. Like I get, because like I've been in not really similar positions as Christina, but I think I can empathize with how she felt, because I've felt similar ways in past relationships. But it was a tough situation overall, but I think it was just the fact that it was so drawn out that caused Raven to maybe have more of a harsher approach. And,
you know, and like, we only saw that conversation.
Yeah, and just like Christina will do these little things, you know, like when she said to Raven, you're like, I'll talk to you about this when you're sober. You know, like things like that that just like really get under people's
skin. She's good at that. She's really good at that. She's
well, to be fair, Raven said, if you want to be a typical girl and like blame the other woman.
They were both kind of needling each other.
Wow, that would really piss me off. Like that would get under my skin in a major way. Like they were like leveling some.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how you can tell they're good friends, because they know
and
how
exactly
to.
Yes, I was going
to
say, like, they are friends still, you know?
Yeah, when you know each other's weaknesses.
Yeah, you can just say one little thing and it will set the other person off.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. No, I've reacted really strongly to it, because it reminded me so much of my, like, previous relationship experience, where people are like, he's not, like, chasing you. Like, he's looking at other girls. Why don't you just, like, say fuck this, like you've dated for a while, he should be invested, he's not. And you're like, well, because I want him to choose me or not choose me. Like, maybe he could still choose me, maybe that moment is just around the corner. I'm not gonna walk away when I could be really happy tomorrow. And it psychologically is really difficult to like unhook yourself from that. It's like the rat pressing the
especially when he's still giving you that hope, and that's where like Dean was not being clear,
right?
And a part of him still definitely was interested in Christina and wanted her and felt really strong for her, but then I think he also just had all kinds of other stuff going on.
And just to be clear, the Dean Pong continues to this day.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Just the reunion, like, is just...
I think when it comes down to how you respond to that, personally, I think it's because it's, like, depends on the way you approach, like, if you love someone, let them go. Or if you love someone, why would you let them go? That's crazy. It's, like, depends on what your approach is. And so when you have, like, two of... the opposite things going on.
Well, part of what interests me about that is that, like, Christina has this past where she has been, like, abandoned. And she's let, like, people have let her go, or she's let people go, and they haven't come back. And I played out a little bit of that in my college relationship, because my mom died when I was young. And I was like, this person cares about me. I need to, like, cling to them, because sometimes people go and they don't come back. And it's really hard to, like... it's like a very desperation-focused, like, mindset.
Absolutely.
And it's not—
it's hard to extricate yourself, though, hard. Once you're in it.
You use that word on this podcast, and I love it. Every time you say it, I'm like, ooh,
good word.
Ooh. It's got a lot of those like hard.
It's true. It sounds nice. Yeah.
So you know what? Let's leave Dina and Christina.
Let's talk about happier things. Yeah. So, yeah, can we talk about the engagement?
Yeah.
Love it. Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
And best wishes.
Thank you.
We don't need them.
Well, I think the etiquette is that you're supposed to say congratulations to the man because he won the woman, and you say best wishes to the woman because, like,
that's
good
a
luck.
Thing.
Because she's
screwed. Yeah. I'm trapped.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been bartered for. Uh-huh. Your dowry has been given. Yeah.
It's considered in poor taste to suggest that you, like, pursued him and, like, locked him down.
I'm learning so much right now.
We had, like, 15 conversations while we were in Paradise where Taylor was like, I don't even want, like, a ring, and, you know, I don't want to be owned like that. You don't need to pee on me.
Yeah, I would tell him that, like, one of their guys were coming, you know. Yeah. I was like, don't pee on me. Like, stop it.
So did you get a ring?
Yes.
You did. Is it a Neil Lane ring?
As Taylor would say, a Neil Diamond ring.
Yeah.
I love that.
I accidentally called it Neil
That's
Diamond.
Great.
I can't
and
imagine
I was,
why.
Like, so right, and I was like, yeah, like, it's a Neil Diamond ring, like, you know, and then it all of a sudden, like, he
didn't
say anything.
I started laughing, and I was like.
And then it clicked, and I was like, Neil Lane.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a Neil
Diamond ring, mm-hmm. right?
Just a word in between there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have a Neil Lane diamond ring.
And
now.
I scared the living shit out of Taylor by.
He did.
By offering.
He did.
How many choices did you get?
I only got three this time around. Okay. And I showed the options to Taylor later, and she was definitely glad with the one that I picked.
Yeah.
There was a super cool one, though, that's, like, very antique looking, that for the right person, like, I thought it was way cooler. It's
and I
like,
unique. Little vintage-y look, mm-hmm. too, but that but one was just a little too much.
It was a little too much, and, like, without...
As the Neil Lane rings tend to be.
Yeah.
As
asking someone to get engaged to you on live, in front of a live studio audience is also a bit extra.
We want to talk about
this. It's quite bachelory of you, actually.
Kind of the most bachelory thing about you guys.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
We heard a little bit on Wells' podcast. He told a story about how you kept your iPad with you and texted him and made him come to your room to practice your speech.
Yeah. Wells and I had about 75 old fashions the night before. and we were like, we were there, we were outside, we were all over the place. I was like practicing and he was making little suggestions. I was very, very, very nervous.
He was.
Yeah. And then it was funny because when we got on stage then, we were, like, nervous for very different reasons.
Yeah.
So Taylor was, like, shaking.
I, like, blacked out as soon as I walked in. So I was like, oh, my God, I'll see with Chris Harrison. No,
and I I knew what was about to happen. And so they had, like, kept us separated because I had the ring in my pocket. And they didn't want
for the
us
whole
to, like,
day, we were
hug
separated.
Each other.
Like,
and
is
have
that
her.
A ring or are you just happy to see it?
Right, exactly. So that was, like, we saw each other for, like, a split second before we walked up there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Taylor's experience last time being on stage with Chris was about the worst.
Yeah,
one
not
you can
the best
ask for.
Associations for you with the hot seat.
Nope.
Yep.
And like, I wanted to propose to you here in your least favorite place.
Yeah. I was like, what are you doing?
I wanted to know that I had made all of the most worst decisions possible so that it was true love.
Well, what we keep saying is like, he just really had to out crazy me. And now I'm like, okay, you definitely have made up for like all of my crazy. And now you're the crazy one.
We didn't want to perpetuate like, that women are only crazy.
Equal opportunity crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But no, even like 2 days before, or was it two or three?
Yeah.
Three. About 3 days before, like we separated and got, you know, our separate cars and,
separate
you know,
hotel rooms
got
and all that.
Unlocked down again and everything. We were like dropping off his rental car and I looked at him and I was like, you're not like planning anything, right?
And I was like this. Thank God I had my sunglasses on and was like, what do you mean?
Yeah, and so I was like, don't mess with me right now. I was like, seriously, like, are we doing something? Like, are we just going to go out there and, you know, just like quick update on the relationship? Like, is something going to happen?
And I was like, hey, rental car guy. Oh, yeah, I got to walk over here 100 feet. Sorry,
and I was
Taylor.
Like, no, you're not. I was like, nothing's going to happen. You're not going to do anything. Like, we're.
You wouldn't do that to me.
Yeah, I was like, no. Like, I know where we are. Like, yeah, no.
And then
fine.
She sent me the sweetest letter. It was so cute.
It was like, please propose to me.
That's what I read. And then she was like, no, I was basically not saying that. I can tell you I love you without saying please propose to me.
Yeah.
Next time, don't read in between the lines.
But honestly, like, I couldn't be happier with the result.
Yeah. So you didn't get rejected on national TV. Uh-huh. That's
no.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about a public proposal is, like, either she says yes or it's all over. There's no coming back from that.
Yeah, that would have been tough. But, no, I honestly, I just blacked out. I was just what are you doing?
I got
What's
through,
happening?
I got
What's
about
wrong with
halfway
you?
Through it. I got about halfway through it, and I went, I don't even remember what I just said. Where am I in this? I practiced this 1,000 times.
God.
And so there was like a pause, and everybody afterwards was like, we thought you were done.
Would have been great if you paused and then just started over.
Yeah, right.
I would pay to watch that.
Well, and like, I didn't really know because he, you
I
know,
had to swindle her, like, to a non-awkward situation where we're not, like, sitting at each other awkwardly on a couch, you know?
He was like, oh, I'm going to, like, show you off because you look so good. And I was like, what the fuck
So I, like, I picked her up and she was like everyone's going to...
Yeah, he, like, stood me up and, like, had me, like, twirl around the front of the stage. And I was like, what? Weird. And they were just standing there, and then he's like starting to give me a speech. I like look over at the cast, and I just see like Danielle, like with her arms out onto other people, and she's just like mouth open, like,
oh my god.
And I was like, oh my god, what's gonna happen?
And I had practiced earlier, like for light check and all that stuff, and like position. The director showed me where to be. And Chris was like, you ready for this? Because
like,
I was not. I was not, like, good at that point in time. And, but the thing
like,
was.
Are you going to pass out on this stage?
Have you ever practiced an engagement speech with, like, the director, Chris Harrison, and two executive producers, literally 2 feet from
you?
No,
I think
staring.
I would pass.
I
right.
think you know the answer to that.
Yeah, the answer is certainly not.
They're like, this is less stressful than all these people. I was like, no, those people are 100 feet over there.
Yeah.
Also, like, something about a big crowd can be less stressful, speaking as a former theater kid.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's true.
Than just one person watching.
Yeah.
It's that's a good terrifying. Point.
Yeah.
Because it's diffused. It's mm-hmm. like there are a lot of eyes on you.
Yeah.
Not just... The ones boring right into you.
Yeah.
So did you get any, like, helpful tips from Wells? Anything that we can share with our about-to-be-engaged male listeners, maybe?
Yeah. Right. The thing that I think that, like, the best thing that Wells and I hashed out was at first I was being, like, a little too fluffy and cheesy. And
he
then,
tends to be very cheesy, and I'm always like,
Dial
what are you
back.
Doing?
Dial
what
back.
Are you doing?
She loves it.
No, that's what my husband thinks too. I'm like, no, seriously, stop.
That was the one thing I gave him in my letter. I was like, since I'm being sweet and romantic, I'll let you know you are funny. I was like, you are funny sometimes.
Sometimes.
Most of the time I'm laughing at you, but sometimes I laugh with you.
Oh yeah, she did say that.
Yeah.
But like that we changed it and made it like a lot more personal. So it's weird because, like, it's a TV one, so it was like, how do I make this personal but also not, like, weird for someone who might watch? And it was that, like, awkward.
Which is, like, a weird thing to have to consider and, like, a very personal thing.
So, but in the end, I ended up just, like, skewing way towards personal. And honestly, like, the producers were like, I don't think people are going to get that. And I was like, I don't care anymore. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I like that was the realization that I got to was like, why don't I care what other people are going to think about this? Like, as long as it matters to us.
Yeah. Also, if you're saying like, this is a real proposal,
yeah,
then
exactly.
it's not for the audience.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So that was like having my best friend help me with that was awesome, as opposed to, like, you know, having producer help me with that.
Yeah.
Because they're thinking a different way. And Wells was very like, you love this girl, right? I was like,
yeah. And like, Wells knows both of us really, really well. So it's like,
exactly.
Thanks, Wells.
Thanks, buddy.
So what's next for you guys now that this is all coming to an end? Are you moving in together? Are you?
We're going to move straight in and get married and pop out babies.
So this
really
is like a gender reveal for your future child, right?
Yeah.
That's what's happening. Great.
Watch yourself, Emma.
Do you want to answer this one?
Well, I was here in New York. I've lived here before, and the hope is that I will be heading this way. And as a woman should, she's going to follow me. No.
It's not my duty. He proposed to me, you know.
Yeah.
So. We'll make an exception for New York because we'd like to have you guys as, you know, neighbors. So.
Right? Yeah. No, but I think we're trying to, like, we don't want to move in together immediately because.
Like, not for, like, a while.
Yeah. So, but like, definitely long trips to where, you know, like, Taylor's kind of. Doing more of the, like, promotional things. And so she can do that from a lot of different places. And that way, maybe she could come stay with me.
Travel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot more of the traveling opportunities. So that way she could maybe travel here and hang out with me for a few weeks at a time. Or the idea is that we're not going to move in together just yet, but we're definitely, like, moving in that direction.
Yeah.
We want to maintain the romance a little bit. And not
I mean, like, basically our relationship now, like, since the show, too, is, like, because I'm in Seattle and he's in Iowa, like, we are most of the time traveling with each other. So it's not like, oh, yeah, I'm going to come over to your place and, like, have dinner and, like, you know, I'll spend the night, but then I'll go back to my house in the morning. And, like, it's not that normal kind of dating dynamic. So I personally, and I think it's a good thing to do, and we're both kind of on board with this, of just trying to bring in some of those, like, normal things that might seem mundane and, like, normal dating, but for us is, like, more romanticized because we haven't had that yet.
We've, like, lived out of hotels, basically. So
and
now,
suitcases. And
so now, like, when we travel places, I've actually got Airbnbs instead in, like, houses. So it's like, okay, I'm going to go over here in this room and not be in the same room as you. You play your music as loud as you want. And because it was like, I started getting annoyed by the music she was playing. I'd be like,
you need to have, like, a little bit of space.
Yeah, exactly.
It is very healthy to have. And, like, it was really sweet when we were in Nashville recently and stayed with Wells. And we were getting ready to, like, go out and do something. And I was like, I just want to, like, can you go get ready? And, like, I'm going to get ready. And then, like, we can meet after. Like, I don't want to see you till I'm done getting ready. And then he
was
like,
or anything, but
he wasn't cheesy at all, and, like, went outside and, like, knocked on the door. And I was like, I answered and I was like, oh, hey there. He's like, hey, are you ready for a date?
We were talking like we're from the 50s, apparently. She's like, hey, big boy. I was like, Mashy, you want to go on a date?
So, were you guys, like, down in Nashville during the eclipse?
Yeah, that's
was that awesome?
Yeah,
we did that, and we did really Carly and Evan's, like, housewarming and gender reveal party and everything. Yeah, which Evan Wells and I were kind of, like, more the dorky guys from the douchiest season.
Yeah, you were, like, the only ones that I liked.
It was, like, all douchebags, which I love. Like, there's some of them are lovable douchebags, but it was
like, you guys were, like, the three close friends on your season, and then for me, it was, like, me, Vanessa, and Danielle.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's funny because, like, they're all kind of friends.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. There's a very small well of...
you just really stepped into that one. Yeah.
of lovable dorks on Bachelor.
Yeah.
And they're all named Wells.
There's a text message that I posted the other day, I put on Twitter, where Wells put his name instead of the word well. And I was like, are you just putting your making your name, like, as many places as you can right now?
It must be confusing, like, for his autocorrect and stuff.
Yeah.
Probably uses Wells more, well, about himself. I don't know why, but my
he always refers
knows my
to
name.
Himself in the third person, so.
Yeah.
It's just a weird thing about him.
Yeah.
Well, Wells and I are the, like...
He and Robbie have that in common.
See, exactly. Robbie. Mm-hmm. That was what the producers started calling Robbie. When he got to Paradise.
Why?
Rubby.
Well, that started, I'm pretty sure that started with Alexis, and then we were all calling
did it?
Yeah, but then we were all calling him Rubby.
Yeah.
And then producers brought it on, and, like, then everyone was just on board. His date card said Rubby.
Where did that come from? Just, like, an Alexis riff?
It was just, like, an accent thing, like, Rubby.
Yeah. What was that? That was, like, British.
I don't know.
I can't even, I don't know.
I mean, I don't want to – I want to let some things just be a beautiful mystery for us and our listeners, and that can be one of them.
I love the way, like, Alexis says my name, though.
Derek. Derek.
She would just say it all the time. Yeah. I don't know what it was.
She probably enjoyed her accent saying it, too.
Yeah, she did.
Probably scratches
we love her. She's like, ooh, she's like, just want to adopt her.
Yeah. And she wanted
she's
to be adopted by us.
Yeah, she did. She's like just part of our relationship.
She's like one of the most real people that I've ever been on the show. And I have to appreciate that. Like to, yeah.
She's one of the people who are on Paradise that we'd actually met before.
Yeah.
And yeah, she is hilarious. We did like a little panel watch party thing with her. And
she got so much stage fright.
She was so funny though.
See, and you don't expect that, but that's 100%.
She was so nervous before, and I was like, "What? You're like the biggest ham."
And she's so accidentally hilarious. That's the best thing. Though.
Yeah, no, she was great.
Yeah,
I think our makeup artist was like obsessed with her. She was so entertaining.
She's wonderful.
So on that note, I think we have to wrap things up. We're out of time.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for...
it was delightful.
Yeah. Stop by anytime that you're both here. I mean, Derek, you can't stop by anytime if you're living here. That would be too much.
Yeah.
You know, from time to time.
Careful what you wish for. Every day, like, free lunch.
I'm just going to come here for free lunch. Yeah.
Do you find yourself searching for true crime podcasts that are different from what you're always recommended? Do you want to make a real difference in the cases that you're following? Well, you're a crime junkie, and I'm Ashley Flowers, the creator and host of the number one true crime podcast, Crime Junkie. There are hundreds of episodes already available, and each Monday we dive into the details of cases spanning from some of the most infamous to those that you have never heard covered before. Listen to Crime Junkie podcast now, wherever you're listening.